Terrorism alerts, war with Iraq, the axis of evil. How can we make sense of it all? Why, for the first time in its history, are NATO nations refusing to come to the aid of their allies? Is the United Nations a power to bring unity among sovereign countries of the world, or is it a washed-up ideal left in the backwash of individual national interests? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Capitol Hill politics, U.S. relationships with Great Britain, France, and Germany, radical Islam. The world around us seems more and more complicated. How can we make sense of it all, especially in the age of sound bites and flickering television images that leave indelible impressions but give little or no historical or cultural context? When examining the global community of the 21st century, it is apparent that two conflicting forces are in motion. One is the movement to unite the world into one global economy. The success of the interdependence of international corporations is evidenced here in the United States, where we are no longer shocked by made in China or made in Japan. We drive cars that are assembled in Mexico and wear clothing stitched in an Indonesian sweatshop. We've also become used to the images of poor children in Africa wearing athletic shoes made with an American brand name, drinking Coca-Cola, and toting a Russian-made AK-47. The power of companies to cross international boundaries is unmistakable, and that immediately after the fall of the Berlin Wall, MTV made inroads to new television markets in Eastern Europe. Pundits of the global economy promote that the quickest way to defeat communism is to introduce its adherents to the glitter of packaged consumerism. The result is that U.S. fast food chains see communist China as a giant herd of consumers ripe for being acquainted with hamburgers and fries. Others are more critical, seeing this global economy as an agency of a glib, shallow culture, promoting immediate, if it itches, scratch it consumerism, promoted by advertising that creates brand names recognized in Canada, Belgium, Japan, the whole world. From our news desk, David Palmer reports on the growth and impact of this developing global economy.
The catchphrase for our planet, Gary, Global Village, was never more accurate than it is today. The world has become interdependent, and with it, of course, a myriad of global problems. As one economist put it, it was generally assumed in the 1960s that economic problems would be easier to handle as a result of the scientific and technical revolution. At that time, we already had some knowledge of the complex and contradictory starting conditions of the Third World. And optimists confidently proclaimed that the enormous gaps between the different development levels could be reduced substantially within a few decades. However, contrary to these expectations, in recent decades, mankind has been living through a dangerous development crisis that can be seen in its most serious form at present in the economy. The economic crisis has spread from the national economies to international trade and even to the international monetary system. One of the characteristics of global problems is that they affect all inhabitants of the globe, even if not to the same extent, regardless of their social system or their nationality or even their religious convictions. What we are seeing may be called new growth, but its ultimate impact on our economy could have some far-reaching effects.
That was David Palmer calling in from our news desk in Canada. In the view of those who promote the new world economy, mega corporations transcend national boundaries with an endless variety of products. Nations are seen as collections of consumers. All the marketers have to do is devise the right advertising campaign for that specific market. If the consumer doesn't have a need for a particular product, advertising can create the illusion of a need. Actors in white smocks tell us what 3 out of 4 doctors, beer drinkers, or housewives prefer, and fabric softeners really can be new and improved every 6 months. The forces of global economy are in a head-on collision with the forces of those who want to preserve a local culture, nationalism, or religious heritage. Islamic fundamentalist men in Saudi Arabia might want to drink Pepsi and watch American-made movies, but they don't want their wives and daughters listening to Madonna or wearing the see-almost-everything fashions of Britney Spears. As Benjamin Barber points out in Jihad vs. McWorld, these two forces, global economy and the human need for historical, religious, and cultural identity, collide into a sort of symbiotic paranoia. The Islamic isolationist in Saudi Arabia also relies on the global economy to sell the oil that allows him to buy a Mercedes made in Germany. Of course, the German in Stuttgart needs the oil from Saudi Arabia to run his Japanese Toyota, which was manufactured in the UK. The world is both fragmenting and uniting at the same time. NATO, which has ensured the unity of the Western world for decades, is in trouble. Leaders in France and Germany are frustrated with the lack of unity in the European Union and are threatening to create a new alliance of nations. The former Soviet Union has fragmented into countries based on ethnic and cultural lines. You know, most people need to be more than consumers, more than a collection of marketing data. At the heart of the conflict are two human needs. One is the need to belong to a family, a community, experiencing meaningful relationships with others who are committed to a common good and share similar values. An example of the coming together while moving apart is the internet. People can communicate across national boundaries, time zones, oceans, ideologies with the click of a mouse. But does the internet create a sense of community among those who relate to each other in a chat room? Brandon Vita became another suicide statistic. But what made his death alarmingly different was that when his parents turned on his computer, they found that Brandon's overdose by drugs and alcohol was watched by chat room acquaintances. Hidden behind the anonymous veil of code names and the virtual reality of cyberspace, people watched, some even encouraged, this 21-year-old to kill himself. No matter how much money, things, or status a person acquires, those things can't answer the basic human need to have value as a person. To be emotionally and spiritually healthy, a human needs stable relationships with other people. A second human need is that information must relate, have context, be part of a whole in order to have meaning. Palestinian teenagers are willing to die as human bombs because the only context they've known is a Muslim view of the religious and political history of the land where they were born. They wish to protect what they see as their culture, religious beliefs, and families. In the context of their microscopic world, walking into a nightclub and blowing Israeli teenagers to bits, along with themselves, makes perfect sense. The stereotypical ugly American is perceived by those in other countries because of tourists who view the world in an American context. Where do we go to find a world context, a worldview that can bring unity and peace to a divided world? In the next segment, we're going to talk about a little of the historical context of the Middle East, how it affects you, and how the surprising information about our present world is contained in all places in the pages of your Bible. We'll be right back.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
You're listening to Good News Radio. Joining us today on a telephone hookup from Michigan is Pastor Melvin Rhodes. Melvin, thanks for sharing this time with us today.
Thank you.
We've been discussing the historical context for today's headlines, especially in the air world, which seems really so confusing to so many Americans. Where do we start if we want to understand the dynamics of the Arab world?
Well, the best place to start, Gary, would be right at the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. Because in the book of Genesis, we see the origin of the Arab peoples, and we also see even some prophesied character traits and circumstances in that particular book. If you remember, Abraham had two sons. One son was by his wife Sarah, but the other son was by his handmaid Hagar. And it was Hagar's son, Ishmael, who is the father of the Arab peoples today. When we look at Genesis chapter 16 and verse 12, we see a description of Ishmael, which is very applicable today, just as it was hundreds of years ago too. Genesis 16 and verse 12 says, "He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Let's take the last point first. He shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. Ishmael's brethren, the brethren of the Arab people, are the Jewish people and the other tribes of Israel, which includes the peoples of the United States and the British Commonwealth countries. And we find that Ishmael's descendants are scattered throughout these different nations, as well as being in charge in the Arab countries in the Middle East. We also see here, when it says, "He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him," one of the problems that we've seen in the Arab world throughout the centuries is tribal rivalries, different stresses and strains and conflict between the different peoples within the Arab world. So this has very much been the way that the Arab world has been. We must also consider the fact that the peoples descended from Ishmael have a resentment going right back to the time of Abraham towards their brethren, the descendants of Abraham's legitimate son, Isaac, because Isaac was the one who received the birthright blessings through his father, Abraham.
Now, we know that when Muhammad arrived on the scene in the 600s A.D., the Arab world was a real disunited group of tribes who worshipped a variety of gods. And the conversion of much of the world, much of the Arab world to Islam is a remarkable story. Of course, the Middle Ages saw warfare between the Muslim world and Christian Europe. And then we had the formation of the Ottoman Empire.
Yes, the Ottoman Empire came along in the 14th century and lasted right up until the last century, the 20th century. Prior to the Ottoman Empire, you had a period where the Arab world was united, but then the Ottomans, who are Turks, slowly conquered the Balkans and the Arab countries. Eventually, in 1453, they defeated Constantinople, which was the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire that had lasted over 1,000 years. And then they had complete domination of southeastern Europe, North Africa, and the Middle East. This continued for a long period of time, but in the 1800s and the early 1900s, the Ottoman Empire was very much in decline and was a source of great conflict throughout Southeast Europe in particular. It finally collapsed after World War I.
Now, what happened to the Arab world after then the collapse of the Ottoman Empire?
Well, if you remember, if anybody's seen the movie Lawrence of Arabia, they would know that during World War I, the British helped the Arabs to rebel against the Ottoman Turks, who had allied themselves with Germany and Austria. And this was done with certain
promises made to the Arab peoples that after the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, they would receive their own nations, their own governments. But what happened was that the treaty after the First World War, the area was divided up primarily between the British and the French. So the British and the French, and especially the British, dominated that region between World War I and World War II. After that, the various Arab nations were completely independent.
Trying to make sense of today's confusing world. We'll be back right after this.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back with Melvin Rhodes talking about making sense of the confusing world around us. We've been discussing the fragmentation of the Arab world after the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, and of course they developed into independent nations after that. You know, Melvin, as an outsider, it seems that the nations of the Arab world want to maintain sovereignty as well as a cultural and religious unity among themselves, but they also need consumer goods from the Western world. Yet they reject the incursion of Western society, and which comes with these goods. They seem to be in the midst of conflicting trends.
Yes, that's certainly true, Gary. The dream of the Arab people throughout the centuries under Ottoman rule was of an Arab nation, and that Arab nation should be united. But today there are 22 different countries with 22 different leaders, kings or presidents, who constitute the Arab world, so they are far from united. Many of these leaders are unwilling to give up any of their sovereignty, so the dream of Arab unity is as elusive as ever. And then in addition to that, although they've driven out, on the whole, they've driven out the Western powers, they still have a lot of Western influence in the form of the culture that comes from the United States. This has gotten worse even in the past decade or so with satellite television, because now just about everybody in the Arab world is able to watch American TV shows. And this is affecting family life in that part of the world and attitudes towards parents and so on. And this kind of thing is upsetting people and turning them increasingly against the West.
Well, how does this tension between their need to remain sovereign and a need to unify, and at the same time their dependency on a oil-based economy and this relationship with the West, how does that affect the way the Arab nations relate and see, say, Europe and the United States?
Well, it's an area that's got many conflicting ideas and influences going on all the time. The people are frustrated by the lack of unity. They have divisions amongst themselves, which are partly due to Western influence. For example, there are some leaders who are pro-American, there are some leaders who are anti-American, there are some who are largely indifferent, and so they've got differences amongst themselves. Now, since 1948, they've really been trying to push all Western influence out of the area. This is because of the creation of the State of Israel in 1948, and this has added to all the tensions that continually go on between these different nations.
Now, thrown in, of course, into all this mix is Islam, and also seems a movement towards some kind of Islamic fundamentalism. Now, what does that? How does that affect this whole mix?
Well, again, we need to go back a while because in the last years of the Ottoman Empire, you saw the rise of Arab nationalism, the desire for the Arabs to be independent of the Turks. And then in between World War I and World War II, the Arabs wanted to be free of the colonial powers. Then after World War II, they wanted to drive the British and the French in particular, and later on the Americans, out of the Middle East. Now, after World War II, we saw Arab nationalists come to power. The first one was in Egypt in 1952, when the king was overthrown. The same thing happened in Iraq in 1958 and in Libya in 1969, for example. So these Arab nationalists were coming to power. But the Arab nationalists had been very corrupt and in many cases oppressive and also incompetent, so that many of their people are living in dreadful circumstances and resent the fact that the leaders are living in such absolute opulence. So we've seen now the rise of Islamic fundamentalism, because the fundamentalists exploit the grievances of the people. Islamic fundamentalism appeals mostly to poor people, although some of its adherents are rich. I mean, Osama bin Laden, for example, comes from a wealthy background. But they certainly do exploit the grievances of the poor people. It's a growing influence whenever any country in the Arab world, or Turkey or Pakistan, for example, allows any form of an election. And we're not talking here about replacing a president. We're talking about a parliament as a kind of an advisory body. But whenever they allow any form of an election, there's a disproportionate number of Islamic fundamentalists returned to the National Assembly. And this is a disturbing trend. It shows the leaders are out of touch, partly because they're so corrupt, and things are likely to get worse because this trend is towards increasing numbers of Islamic fundamentalists.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but Melvin, we hope you'll join us next week so we can continue discussing the subject.
I'll be happy to.
To receive your copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, call this toll-free number, 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. The call is free, the booklet is free, the answers you discover may change your life. Occasionally, we like to pass on some of the email comments we receive, both pro and con. This one is from Chicago, from Brendan Kenny. He says, "Today I write to tell you of your efforts at spreading the good news are successful, at least by my definition. I've been a loyal listener for just about a year. I used to think that the Good News radio program was just for Jesus freaks. Something happened to my way of thinking, though, and I truly believe that God used your radio program to call myself back to Him. A feeling that I can't really describe in any way came over me and made me realize that I needed Him back in my life. Though my relationship with God is still growing, I must say this is the strongest my relationship with God has ever been. I can't thank you enough for all of your efforts. Well, Brandon, we encourage you to continue to grow in your walk with God. And if you would like to comment on today's program, and we may even read your comment on the air, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. And we do appreciate your feedback about the program. And be sure to join us next week as we continue to discuss trying to make sense of the Arab world, Islam, and your world. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.